That's how we think about math. We assume that being good at things like calculus and algebra is a simple function of how smart you are. But looking at the differences in number systems between East and West suggests something very different. That being good at math may also be something rooted in a group's culture. In the case of the Koreans, one kind of deeply rooted legacy stood in the way of the very modern task of flying an airplane. Here we have another kind of legacy, one that turns out to be perfectly suited for 21st century tasks. Cultural legacies matter, and once you've seen the surprising effect of things like power distance and numbers that can be said in a quarter as opposed to a third of a second, it's hard not to wonder how many other cultural legacies are there that have an impact on 21st century intellectual tasks. What if coming from a culture shaped by the demands of growing rice also makes you better at math? Could the rice paddy make a difference in the classroom? The most striking fact about a rice paddy, which you never quite grasp until you actually stand in the middle of one, is its size. It's tiny. A moo, which roughly corresponds to the size of a typical rice paddy, is 1/15th of a hectare. That's about as big as a hotel room. A typical Asian rice farm is 2 or 3 moo. A village in China of 1,500 people might support itself entirely with 450 acres of land, which in the American Midwest would be the size of a typical family farm. At that scale, with families of 5 and 6 people living off a farm the size of 2 hotel rooms, agriculture changes dramatically. Historically, Western agriculture has been mechanically oriented. In the West, if a farmer wanted to become more efficient or increase his yield, he introduced more and more sophisticated equipment, which allowed him to replace human labor with mechanical labor. A threshing machine, a hay baler, a combine harvester, a tractor. He cleared another field and increased his acreage because now his machinery allowed him to work more land with the same amount of effort. But in Japan or China, farmers didn't have the money to buy equipment. And in any case, there certainly wasn't any extra land that could easily be converted into new fields. So rice farmers improved their yields by becoming smarter, by becoming better managers of their own time, and by making better choices. As the anthropologist Francesca Bray puts it, rice agriculture is skill-oriented. If you're willing to weed a bit more diligently and become more adept at fertilizing, and spend a bit more time monitoring water levels, and do a better job keeping the clay pan absolutely level, and make use of every square inch of your moo, you'll harvest a bigger crop. Throughout history, not surprisingly, the people who grow rice have always worked harder than almost any other kind of farmer. That last statement may seem a little odd, because we have a sense that everyone in the pre-modern world worked really hard. But that simply isn't true. All of us, for example, are descended at some point from hunter-gatherers, and many hunter-gatherers, by all accounts, had a pretty leisurely life. The Kung Bushmen of the Kalahari Desert in Botswana, who are one of the last remaining practitioners of that way of life, subsist in large part on the mungungo nut, an incredibly plentiful and protein-rich source of food that lies thick on the ground. They don't grow anything, and it's growing things, preparing, planting, weeding, harvesting, storing, that takes time. Nor do they raise any animals. Occasionally, the male Kung hunt, but chiefly for sport. All told, Kung men and women work no more than 12 to 19 hours a week, with a balance of the time spent dancing, entertaining, and visiting family and friends.